Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation in this morning is recorded for us in the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning with the first verse. This is the account of the coming of the Holy Spirit on this great festival, the day of Pentecost. You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ, you have Christmas, and you have Easter. Christmas, of course, is the time when God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who was born, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Christmas is a celebration of the birth of our Savior. Easter, of course, is when that Son rose from the dead after He had given up His life on the cross, when He took our sins upon Himself and gave us His perfect life. Easter is a celebration of the work and victory over sin, death, and the devil of Jesus Christ. Many love Christmas and Easter. And pretty much everyone knows when Christmas and Easter are going to take place. Of course, a lot of that has to do with the secular holidays that go along with these religious festivals. But still, those are highly attended worship services, usually the highest attended services of the year. Because they are the two great festivals of the Christian church year. Right? Well, not exactly. There are three. Christmas, Easter, and today. The day of Pentecost, the third and final major festival of the Christian church year. First celebrated at least in 217 AD. One of the longest festivals of the Christian church. It's the Holy Spirit's day. Many people call it the birth of the Christian church. The Father gave up His Son on Christmas. The Son gave up His life only to rise again on Holy Week. And here, we see the coming of the Holy Spirit on His disciples on this day of Pentecost. Today, we see that the Holy Spirit and His festival, they are often forgotten and often misunderstood. The Old Testament believers, the Jews, they too had three major festivals throughout the year. The first was the festival of unleavened bread or Passover. Of course, that was when they celebrated when God passed over their houses in Egypt, when they had the blood of the lamb on their doorposts during that 10th plague of the killing of the firstborn. Thus, they celebrated how God saved them from slavery in Egypt. The last festival was called the festival of booths or tabernacles or tents. For a week during this last festival, the Jews stayed in tents to remember how God led them through the wilderness, and it was in the wilderness that they stayed in tents. That festival is also called the Festival of Ingathering because they celebrated the fruit harvest at that time. It's the second, the middle festival that we focus on today. That festival is known as the Harvest Festival, because it was at that time that they celebrated the wheat harvest, which was the first crop to come in after growing all winter, so it also became known as the First Fruits Festival, also known as the Feast of Weeks, because it took place a full week of weeks, that is, 7 weeks after Passover, or after the first Sunday after Passover. Then became known by a fourth name, Pentecost. Penta is Greek for 50. And since it took place 50 days after the Sabbath of the Passover week, it often was referred to by New Testament times simply as Pentecost. So this Old Testament celebration of Pentecost was a celebration of the wheat harvest. That's where the disciples were doing. In the temple, in Jerusalem when our text poured it in. 10 days earlier, when Jesus ascended into heaven, 40 days after his resurrection, so 50 days after his resurrection, disciples were in the temple, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. Now, we tend to focus on certain things and certain aspects of Pentecost. What we read in our text for today is what we often talk about. The wind, that strong wind, or the tongues of fire dancing on top of the heads, the speaking in tongues. And they certainly are amazing, and we'll get to those, but we often forget about the most important part of Pentecost. We focus on the outward things, and we don't focus on the main point. It took place after our text. After Peter's sermon, we learned that about 3,000 were added to that number that day. 3,000 became believers by one simple sermon by Peter. The Holy Spirit brought them to faith in the largest conversion in one day ever. That's the most important part of Pentecost. And that's truly a harvest. That is the connection between the Old Testament Pentecost and the New Testament Pentecost. The Old Testament Pentecost was a harvest of wheat. The New Testament Pentecost is a harvest of souls. So the New Testament festival replaces and exceeds and fulfills the Old Testament celebration. We have an even greater reason to praise our God and thank the Holy Spirit. And yet, sadly, the festival of Pentecost is often forgotten, replaced with things going on in our lives. And many people, whether they're Christians or non-Christians, well, Christians forget about it. To non-Christians, they don't even know about Pentecost. The Old Testament Pentecost was one of three pilgrimage festivals, along with the other two that we already mentioned. That means that every male Jew, 18 or older, was commanded to go to Jerusalem to praise God on those three major festivals. So people, thousands upon thousands of Jews, came up to Jerusalem to praise God for a harvest of wheat. We have a harvest of souls to celebrate. What a great reason we have to praise the Holy Spirit. We have all the more reason to sing His praises again and again. So let's not forget the Holy Spirit. Let's not forget His festival day. But sadly, that's not the only problem when it comes to the Holy Spirit and Pentecost, that we forget Him. No, we also have a problem with misunderstanding the Holy Spirit and His day. There are many things that happen on Pentecost that might cause some confusion or might cause some misunderstanding. Now, as the disciples were together in that room, suddenly they heard a loud sound, a rushing wind, and they felt it, and it filled the whole room where they were staying. Then you have the tongues of fire that danced on their heads. The tongues of fire that pointed to them speaking in tongues. Somehow these uneducated Galileans were able to speak in languages they had never learned or spoken before. So here's the confusion. What do these miracles mean? And the misunderstanding, well, because they happened to them, well, that means it could happen to me. Now, most people, I don't think, expect to hear the wind or see the wind whenever the Holy Spirit is present in the room. Most don't expect to have a tongue of fire dancing on top of their heads. And yet, there are many who expect to be filled with the Holy Spirit or to feel the Holy Spirit inside of them and to be able to speak in tongues because they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, sure, it is true that throughout the apostolic times, God would give certain individuals this special gift. But we never have a promise in His Word that He's going to give us this gift. We never have a promise that He will continue to give this gift. Plus, this is a descriptive passage, not a prescriptive one. A descriptive passage is one that describes what happened. It doesn't tell us what will happen for us. So what's the proper way of looking at these events and these miracles of Pentecost? That sound of the violent wind served as a sign of the gift given at Pentecost, but it wasn't the gift. The tongues marked the arrival, the tongues of fire marked the arrival of the gift, but it wasn't the gift. But speaking in tongues sure was amazing, and it was a result of having the gift, but it wasn't the gift itself. The gift given on Pentecost is the Holy Spirit Himself. As we read, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Then you have the prophecy of Joel that Peter quotes. That too can cause a lot of confusion or misunderstanding. What does it mean that young and old men will prophesy? Or that or daughters and sons will prophesy. Or young men will dream dreams and the old men will see visions. Does that mean that we will be able to prophesy? Does that mean that God will come to us and He will speak to us through special dreams and special visions? Well, once again, God never promises that we will have these gifts. So we, who are not apostles, cannot expect now that God will come to us in visions and dreams and give us special revelations and enable us to prophesy. And that basic meaning, the basic meaning of the word prophesy, speak simply means to speak to another. So here could be a prophecy of God telling us that in this New Testament time, we will share His Word with others. What about the rest of Joel's prophecy? I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. These are signs of the coming of Christ and signs of the last day. Whenever we see them, we are reminded that the time is near. Blood could be the same thing that Jesus referred to in Matthew 24 when He said there will be wars and rumors of wars. The billows of smoke could refer to the same thing, or maybe it's a reference to the earthquakes that happened in the last days. The rest of Scripture talks about how there is no need for a sun in heaven because Jesus Himself will be our light, as we read in Revelation. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The point of Peter quoting Joel here is because Joel's prophecy is fulfilled in Pentecost. Peter is pointing out that Pentecost ushers in the end times, the last days, when Jesus could come at any moment. Ever since the Holy Spirit came upon His disciples on Pentecost, we are in those last days. But what does Joel's prophecy mean for us? Of course, it tells us that we are in those last days. And what will happen on those last days? He says, I will pour out My Spirit in those days. Again, what we read on the day of Pentecost, what happened, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So in those last days, the Holy Spirit dwells inside His children. And that is what Pentecost is all about, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Dwells in all nations. Dwells in young and old, women and men, rich and poor. He comes to all nations. That was a prophecy, and we still see that prophecy fulfilled today. But he doesn't do so through dreams or visions, but through the means of grace. He comes to us through the gospel in word and sacrament. Those are the only ways that God promises in his word that he is going to come to us. The only way that he comes to us is through his word and through the sacrament of baptism and communion. So the day of Pentecost is a reminder to be in the word, to bring our children and our loved ones to the baptismal font, to receive the Lord's Supper often. For it is through those means that the Holy Spirit comes to us. It is through those means that he lives on us and dwells in us, that he forgives us. It is through those means that he gives us faith and increases our faith. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who works faith. Without the Holy Spirit, we're not saved. Without the Holy Spirit bringing us to faith, we are absolutely hopeless. So it is faith that is the focus of Pentecost. It's faith that Peter talks about as he quoted Joel in the last verse of our text. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. As you read that text and you read Joel's prophecy, that verse may seem a little bit out of place. But not when you understand the work of the Holy Spirit, not when you understand the purpose of Pentecost. When the purpose of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit is to bring us to faith, that line falls in nicely. Those whom he dwells in will be saved. At the end of his Pentecost sermon, after our text, the people asked Peter what they must do to be saved, and Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Through baptism, we also receive the Holy Spirit. It is through baptism that he comes into our hearts and creates faith in us and dwells in us. And so then we have the forgiveness of sin. Through baptism, through your baptism, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. He has brought you to faith, and he strengthens your faith and increases your knowledge of understanding of his word, and he gives you courage to share that word with others. That is what the day of Pentecost is all about. So you have Christmas, you have Easter. Let's not forget about Pentecost. You can't be saved without one of them. God can send his son, his son can suffer and die, but without the Holy Spirit coming to your hearts, we cannot be saved. They're all equal and all great to celebrate. So let us rejoice and praise the Holy Spirit on this festival day. For he has brought us to faith. He dwells in us so that we might dwell with him forever in heaven. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.